Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with a short lesson on the purpose of the book of Genesis. Genesis begins with the words, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Yes, the book of Genesis is about the beginning of creation. But the book of Genesis is not only about the beginning of creation. The book of Genesis is about the beginning of redemption. And it is the story of God's redeemed people. And the purpose of the book of Genesis is to lay out the story of God's redeemed people and how they believed the gospel promise first given to them in Genesis 3:15. Most of the commentators hold that Genesis ought to be divided into three parts. Genesis 1 through 11, giving us the story from creation to Terah, the father of Abraham. And then Genesis 12 through 36, giving us the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then in Genesis 37 through 50, we have what are called the Joseph stories. And this is an acceptable way to understand the book of Genesis. But Moses divides the book a little bit differently. Moses divides the book using the term generations. And I've given you the outline of Moses on the whiteboard here. Notice the different places where Moses uses the term generations. The first citation is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, the generations of the heavens and the earth. Then we find the generations of Adam. Then in Genesis 6, 9, the generations of Noah. In Genesis 10, 1, the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In Genesis 11, 10, the generations of Shem. In Genesis 11, 27, the generations of Terah. And here we find Abraham, the father or the child of Terah. In Genesis 25, 12, the generations of Ishmael. In Genesis 25, 19, we find the generations of Isaac. And also here in this section, we find Jacob. In 36, 1, it's the generations of Esau. And there's a repetition of the generations of Esau in 36:9. And finally, in Genesis 37:1, we find the generations of Jacob, and under this heading, again, we find the Joseph stories. And so, Moses divides the book into what he calls these generations. And, of course, there are genealogies interspersed among these generations. Let's look at a couple of unique features here about these generations. They begin with the generations of the heavens and the earth. And why would this be? Well, Adam is brought from the dust. He is, as Paul says, from the earth and earthy. And so the first generations is that of the heavens and the earth. You'll notice that in Genesis 1 through 11, the generations are rather compact, and Moses is moving through this territory rather rapidly. And in fact, he doesn't spend a lot of time on creation itself. When we come to Genesis chapter 12, the generations are expanded quite a little bit. For example, when we meet Abraham, we go from 11:27 to 12:12, quite a large section. But then we have the generations of Ishmael, 25:12 through 25:19, a very short section. And in the generations of Isaac, we have 25:19 to 36:1, another large section where in 36:1 we meet the generations of Esau, that is, Edom. And this section is quite short. And the rest of chapter 36 is taken up with the generations of Esau. There's a repetition here. Of course, Ishmael is a reprobate. Ishmael is a rebellious man. Not too much time spent on him. And Esau is also a rebellious man. He is the father of the Edomites. And the Edomites were the traditional enemies of the children of Israel. And you might remember that Herod, who tried to kill Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem, was an Edomite. And then in Genesis 37:1, we meet the generations of Jacob, where Joseph is introduced, and this is quite a long section, to the end of the book, chapter 50. In other words, the generations of the children of God are emphasized in this book of Moses, Genesis. And the children of the enemy, the children of the devil, are given short notice, as it were. The emphasis is upon God's plan of redemption and God's people believing the gospel of God, which is related, first of all, in Genesis 3:15. And, of course, this gives us the idea that Genesis 3:15 might indeed be the theme verse of the book of Genesis. And here is Genesis 3:15. Listen to it. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." I will put enmity, devil, between you and the woman. God is speaking to the devil after the fall, and he's speaking to the devil in the hearing of Adam and Eve. And God is giving a promise in this text. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, devil, and between your seed and her seed." The woman had snuggled up to the devil. The woman had become a friend of the devil. The woman was now under the sway of the devil. And God promises, "I will put a separation between you, devil, and the woman." In other words, I'm going to redeem her from your sway and from your power. I'm going to take her out from under your power by redeeming her. And not only so, I am going to redeem a people for myself. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." In other words, there will be children that come from Adam and Eve, generations of men and women, and they will be separated from you, devil. They will be my people, says the Lord. And you will have a people, devil, who will be at enmity with my children. And the story of Genesis is the story of the generations of God's people and their struggle in many cases with the children of the devil and the enmity which arises between these two peoples, these two seeds. But notice the word seed. The word seed is what we often call a collective singular. That is, it has a collective or plural side, and it has a singular side. When you go to the hardware store and buy a bag of seed, you do not come home with one seed. You come home with thousands and probably 10,000s of seeds. The word seed is therefore a collective singular. In the beginning of Genesis 3:15, we have the collective side. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed," between your children, woman, and the children of the devil. "He shall bruise you on the head." Now, the singular side is introduced. "He
shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. One seed will arise who will crush the serpent's head and will receive a bruise from the serpent, which will not be fatal. This seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15 is therefore the first gospel promise. And Genesis 3:15 tells us that God has a plan. He has a plan for a people. And God has a gospel, the gospel that centers in Jesus Christ. And so, God's plan and God's gospel is given in Genesis 3:15 for the benefit of the generations that follow in accordance with God's plan. And Genesis is the story of the generations of God's people who arise in accordance with God's plan and who believe in the gospel of God that centers in Jesus Christ. For example, when Abraham comes on the scene, God gives Abraham a promise. In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that promise is repeated to Isaac and to Jacob. In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is none other than the gospel being presented to Abraham. And it goes back to Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed, and that special seed that will arise, who was indeed Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 8, we read this with regard to the promise given to Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. The promise, all the nations will be blessed in you, is the gospel promise. And then Galatians 3:16 says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is, Jesus Christ. Those generations in Genesis that arose in the plan of God believed in the promised seed, Jesus Christ, and received eternal life. It seems to me that all of this validates the fact that Genesis 3:15 is indeed the theme verse of Genesis. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. What is Genesis about? What is God's purpose in the book of Genesis? God's purpose in the book of Genesis is to display his promise of a people that will arise and follow him. God's plan that a people would arise and follow him. And Genesis 3:15 not only presents God's plan with regard to the generations of his people, but Genesis 3:15 presents God's gospel in Jesus Christ. And it is this gospel that God's people through the generations have believed. God's purpose in Genesis, therefore, is that you and I would trust God's plan and trust God's purposes and trust God's gospel in Jesus Christ. Trust God's plan and trust God's gospel in Jesus Christ. This is God's purpose for you in the book of Genesis. Thanks for listening.